From the beautiful Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, this is the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. We take questions from anyone in the dental profession and discuss what it takes to win not only in dentistry, but in life. Business, leadership, relationships, parenting, health and wellness, money management, nothing is off limits on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Jason Tenori, your host, and have over 20 years of experience to pull from. Learn from my mistakes and let me help you collapse time so you can become the best version of yourself. Next on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast, we have Zane from Virginia. Zane, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I really appreciate you reaching out and calling in. How can I help you today?
Okay, well, I have kind of a long question. I hope you'll have patience to answer it. It's not one of these quick answers. Probably many people ask you this question before. I've been following you for a very long time, and I know that you have multiple practices. And right now, my practice is growing and growing very well every year. And I have some opportunities coming, you know, here and there, of course, to have an associate joining me or hopping on a, you know, a different business or be a partner here and there. And it feels like I keep playing this game and I enjoy it. And for most of us dentists, we are winning in this game. But I have four children and I have some other commitments in life. And I feel like this is taking me away from my other commitments and domains of life. I am willing to play these games, business growing. Every time I get to a milestone, I want the next. I don't know. I try not to compare, but I don't know. Maybe my mind would compare sometimes. Okay, why am I not? I'm not doing this course. Why I'm not growing this way? Why I'm not having 2, 3, 4 offices? And I see you doing it and doing it very well. And you always have that piece of deep work that you will share with us. And you might understand what I'm talking in terms of, you know, you're a family man. You have I'm assuming you have children. How do you balance between all these things? My kids feel like I'm working the whole time. If I go and record my time and how I'm utilizing my time, I would say 80-90% of my free time is about business and dentistry and compliance and growing. I look at some people who have a very simple maybe business, and sometimes I feel they're winning the game of life better than me.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, and it you very well articulated, Zane. And I appreciate you the kind words that you used to describe my situation, and I can share that multiple failures has kind of led me to where I'm at right now. But if I can help you in any way, I would love to.
Appreciate it.
I don't want to state the obvious, but I'm going to. You know, comparison is the thief of joy, right? There's, you know, and it's not just some quote that you know is on a wall or something like that. Like, there's a lot of truth to that. So, I think that should be the backdrop of this conversation today. Is if comparison is what's driving you or anybody, then you'll never win and you'll never feel the level of fulfillment and joy that you deserve to feel, because there's always going to be someone that has more revenue, more employees, more businesses, more locations, whatever it is, right? More money. So we can't use that as the barometer. What I would encourage you to do is write out some things that would bring you a level of joy and contentment, and fight like hell to make those things come true. And it certainly doesn't have to be something where you write down these goals and they're your goals for the rest of your life. You can revisit them on a regular basis. But you have to at least have a compass or a North Star to shoot for. So in your situation, again, it can depend on the age of your kids. It can depend on your income requirements. But some of the things that I would start asking yourself is, you know, how much money do I really need to live the lifestyle that I want, that's going to afford my family the lifestyle that I want to provide them? And it may be $200,000 a year. It may be $2 million a year. Like, only you know that answer. So that's a question that I would certainly think about with your spouse and come up with a number, right? And then that number should help you figure out what you need to do from a business perspective in terms of how many hours that you need to dedicate per week, how many businesses, practices that you need to ultimately run to get to that ultimate number. The next thing I would ask you to do is to be intentional about the type of dad that you want to be. And is kind of silly as it sounds, I have I call it a declaration document, where one of the declarations that I make on a daily basis is, I want to be dad of the year to my kids. And what does that really mean? So I have a number of bullet points underneath that declaration. And maybe it's because I'm an engineer, maybe it's because of the way I'm wired, but I get really darn specific with what dad of the year means, from the amount of time I'm spending with each of my children on a weekly basis, the number of trips that we're taking, the number of interactions and lessons that I'm trying to empower them with. So once you start to kind of fill all this stuff out, your week gets pretty filled up, right?
Correct.
But unless you have clarity with what's important to you, unless you have clarity with who is the person that you are striving to be, get that answered and then fill up your schedule, like literally in 15-minute increments, then you're just going to be in this rat race of always trying to beat out the guy next to you or the guy down the road, or always motivated to take on the shiny object that gets thrown in front of you, or the email that gets sent to you, like, oh, maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do that. Like when you have your identities and your goals laid out and you revisit it daily, it serves as such a filter to say yes or no to things that come your way.
True.
I hope that makes sense.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I agree. And I as you were talking, I'm taking notes, to be honest with you. I was just, you know, sometimes how to be strong enough to say no to some, you know, the temptation of joining another or riding on a different business journey. And because sometimes you can enjoy some other stuff outside your family, and sometimes you need to bring yourself back and say, what is the most important thing? Because I feel we are all spending really minimum time with our families and with our kids, you know, spending good time on the screen. We are as a family, it just, I think every American family is suffering these days just to achieve some simple goals like having dinner together.
So
you put things in perspective, honestly. I appreciate it.
Well, I think, and I appreciate you saying that, and you're right. But what fixes that is articulating exactly what you want. So if being dad of the year means that you're going to have dinner as a family 5 days a week, then you got to fight like hell and set up your schedule to make sure that you guys are having dinner 5 days a week. I was on a coaching call last week, and it was a similar kind of conversation. And the one thing that I said to Mark that really resonated with him is, You know, every time you say yes to something, you're automatically saying no to something else. So when you say yes to squeezing in that patient, or when you say yes to sitting down to hear another job or a business opportunity, you're basically saying no, in this particular case, to your family or to your spouse or to your kids for the dinner that you had pre-scheduled, or for the walk that you were going to take with your teenage son, or for, you know, the trip to the mall that you were going to take with your daughter, whatever it is. If you have clearly defined goals, like, this is what's important to me and I'm going to schedule it, it really helps create clarity on, you know, where you're going to be at what times, and just gives you, like I said, a filter or a North Star or a compass of this is who I am. This is who I identify as. And everything else is just noise. It's just distractions.
I truly appreciate it. That was awesome. If that window will open again, I'll calling you. I'll do it in the future. I really appreciate your time.
you well said, Zane. I really appreciate you giving me a call, and looking forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you.
Have a good one, brother.
God bless. Take care.
God bless you too. Next on the show, we have Regina from Newark, New Jersey. Regina, welcome to the Dental Lighthouse podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can I help you, Regina?
Well, I'm a regional manager overseeing multiple locations, and I'm just wondering, what advice would you have to manage your week to make sure that you're productive with all of the tasks you need to do and getting to all the different locations, and the idea of being productive and not just busy?
Yeah, super great question. Let me grab a little bit more context from you. How long have you been in this role? How many offices are you ultimately responsible for? Help me understand that a little bit more.
Sure. So I've been in this role for 2 years, and I currently manage 5 offices.
And who reports to you? Is it doctors? Is it OMs for those particular locations?
It's the office managers primarily.
And who do you ultimately report to?
I report to the operations manager.
And has the operations manager given you clarity on what your roles and responsibilities are, or are you just trying to do the best that you can and figure it out?
She's given me clarity. The only thing, the thing, and this is just a me thing, I'm sure, is that I have a feeling like I have to be everywhere at once, and I have to make sure that everybody feels like I'm getting to them, and that they all feel supported. So that's probably a me issue, and that I get caught up in feeling like I'm not getting everywhere.
Yeah. It's not a you issue. It's an everybody issue, right? So we're all running ragged. We're all thin on our capacity to help people. So I don't want you to feel isolated. It's an everybody issue. So pat yourself on the back. You have a lot of responsibility. And I really appreciate you wanting to better yourself and then ultimately better the people that report to you. So let me see if I can help you here. I'm probably going to ask more questions than not. But from our perspective, we basically have what we call rules of the house, right? And some of you guys have heard me talk about this before, where the rules of the house, and first and foremost, are the core values that the organization lives and dies by. So hopefully, whoever's running your organization has sound core values in place, and they're well-defined and well-articulated. Is that the case in your situation?
Absolutely.
Perfect. The next is the roles and responsibilities. So if I were in your position, I would want to make sure that my office managers are living and breathing the core values, and then ultimately managing all of their roles and responsibilities. Now, that begs the question, well, what are the office manager's roles and responsibilities? So that obviously has to be clearly articulated as well. I'm not one that's 100% driven by numbers, but when looking for guidance or clarity on if someone's doing a good job, I think looking at core values and looking at numbers are two really good ways to determine if someone's winning or not. So in your particular situation, you have office manager A at this particular location, asking yourself or asking the team that he or she leads, is this person a great core value fit? Are they living out the behaviors that the owner of the corporation truly believes in? So you'll have to get clarity on that. If there's a person that you're responsible for, an office manager, that's not living those core values, and that's the first thing that you need to address. Assuming that they are, then the next thing are the roles, responsibilities, and like I said, the numbers associated with that. So everybody has different numbers that they like to track or different numbers that move the needle, so to speak. What are some of the numbers that you are routinely looking at in your organization?
So we have a few core metrics in our, we call it a scorecard. The big one is adjusted production, case acceptance, number of new patients, doctor hourly, things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So whoever's running the ship over there sounds like they got things lined up pretty well. And it sounds like you have some good boundaries to work within. If I was in your situation, I would make sure the office manager is a great core value fit. And then secondly, I would look at each one of those metrics either on a weekly or monthly basis, however you guys decide to do it. And you're either going to be at goal or you're not. And if you're at goal, high fives all around, lots of celebrations. But if you're not, then you have to start to unpack, why are you not at goal? So let's use an example like new patients, right? So office A may ultimately be responsible for, or the expectation is 100 new patients a month, right? And you're looking at your scorecard and you're seeing month over month that you're at 60 or 70 new patients. So that's an issue, right? You have a goal of 100. You need 100 new patients to meet the demands of the practice, meet the revenue expectations, but you're at 60 or 70. So why is that? You have to start asking questions of not only the office manager, but of everybody as to why are we not hitting this number? And it could be any number of things. Some of the things that I've experienced are the phone's not getting answered, right? So whenever we see that new patient numbers are down, most doctors will instantly say, well, I have to market more, right? Like increase our marketing budget. Well, what if the phone's not getting answered? What if new patients are calling to schedule appointments, but the call answer rate is 50%? That's one thing that I would be looking at. What is the call conversion rate? So the calls may be getting answered at 95, 100%, but the person who's answering the phone is, let's say, not the most empathetic person out there, and they're turning people off or they're answering questions incorrectly. So the prospective new patient is hanging up and calling the next dentist in line. So you have to almost be a detective and figure out exactly why these particular metrics are not being hit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So from my perspective, if you want to feel like you're not just being busy, you want to feel that you're really winning at doing your job, it would be usually those two things, focusing in on the core values of the particular office manager or someone on their team, and then making sure that scorecard metrics are being hit. If they're not being hit, really trying to play detective, play Sherlock Holmes, and ask some very open-ended questions of the office manager, of the team, as to why they suspect we're not hitting said particular goals. I think if you do that, you'll feel a tremendous sense of, man, I'm really making a difference here. I'm really doing some work that is changing the lives of the people that I lead and then ultimately the people that they lead and then the patients that you're serving in that particular office.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So I have a follow-up question.
Let's go, Regina.
The follow-up question is, of the five offices, I have a few that are really dialed in on their roles and responsibilities. They've been in dental for a while. They know their stuff. And then we've got a couple of newer office managers who are still learning the ropes. So I find myself spending time, a lot more time there than I will with the other offices. So trying to manage that workload with getting from one office who really needs my help to another who maybe necessarily doesn't need my help, but appreciates me stopping in and having, you know, conversations with them just to let them know that I haven't forgotten about them.
Yeah. Super good question. I was just having a similar conversation with my leadership team a couple of days ago where there's a fear. It's actually a reality where we can, as leaders, be so focused in on the people that are underperforming that we disengage with our superstars, and then they don't feel supported, or more importantly, or more realistically, they don't feel acknowledged or appreciated. And then they start to look for another job or start to not perform at the same standard that they have a history of performing at. So you can't be in two places at once. There's no question. But when you're going to have to dedicate a majority of your time to either underperformers or people that are newer, you have to make sure that you're managing that expectation with your superstars and basically saying to them, look, I appreciate you. I know that you're doing an amazing job. I want to spend time with you, but my focus for the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is going to have to be with so-and-so in this office, because that's where my skill set is really needed. So first and foremost, manage the expectation of how much you're going to be able to be with your superstars. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And then secondly, as far as, you know, being where you need to be. And this, in my opinion, is the beauty of the regional manager or district manager, or different people call them different things, but like you are the glue that is going to sit side by side this office manager and really coach them up, really grow them, really get them to the point where they need to be, where the organization needs them to be, where their particular office needs them to be. But I do fear that we sometimes will spend an exorbitant amount of time on this process. So have some clarity with how much time you can really dedicate to said person before you realize that, you know, they might not be the right fit. And that could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. Like every organization is going to be different, but you really have to decide, okay, my expectation for this particular position is they can accomplish said tasks by 30 days. And then these said tasks by 60 days. Or to go back to your scorecard reference, my expectation is that this office manager is going to be able to hit these metrics by 30 days or 60 days or 90 days or whatever it is. If you don't have those objective measurements, if you don't have clarity with this particular person needs to own this skill by this day, then you just find yourself kind of losing time and constantly pouring into someone. And the reality is they're not getting better. They might be a great core value fit, but they're not able to comprehend, or they don't have the capacity to perform the tasks and skills that you need them to perform. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. If you don't have that in place, you could be the nicest person in the world. They could be the nicest person in the world. But at the end of the day, you're not hitting certain metrics, or they're not able to do specific tasks, and it's not going to end well. And sometimes you just kind of find yourself delaying the inevitable. And I want to continue to work with this person. I want to hang on to them. They're a great fit from a core value perspective, but they don't get the job. They don't understand specifically what I need out of my office managers. And maybe they're just in the wrong seat. Maybe they go from office manager to treatment coordinator, or they go from office manager to some other position that you guys have in your organization, but you're not doing anyone a service by allowing mediocrity to fester months and months and months with the hope that they'll eventually get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Cool. Hopefully that helped, Regina. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, that was really helpful. I appreciate your feedback.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in. Please reach out if you need any other help.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Next on the show, we have Christy from Colorado. Christy, welcome to the Dental Lighthouse podcast. How are you?
Doing great, Tathan. How are you?
I am better than I deserve. I really appreciate you reaching out, and I'm excited to help you with whatever problem that you have. Shoot.
So I don't know if this is necessarily a problem, but it's just something that we've discussed in our office as we've started to set goals for 2024. We've owned a practice for better part of 15 years, and we are looking to share some financials with the practice, or I'm sorry, with the team. But we are not sure how transparent we should be with the team. And my second question to that would be, is that different for your office manager?
Yeah. So what do you share now?
You know, in the past, we have been completely transparent with year-end numbers from the previous year and gotten down and dirty with benchmarks and what it should be and where we were at and all of those things. And we have recently transitioned our practice situation into a different practice. And now we really haven't talked any financials. So we've done it both ways.
And which way have you had more success with, or which way do you feel more comfortable with? The underlying issue that I've run into with this question, and it's a great one, is the mindset of the doctor. And it's not a right or wrong mindset, but some doctors are all about transparency and some doctors aren't. I'll certainly share how we handle things, but I'm just curious to understand what your perspective is. Like, which way are you leaning? Which way do you see a benefit? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I think we can see pros and cons to both since we've done both. That's why I'm kind of consulting an expert on this one.
Who's the expert you plan on calling?
You're funny. So when we had our previous practice and situation, and we were very transparent, I think there was a lot of staff that interpreted that as greed from the doctor.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was seen that it was like more money for me, more money for me, more money for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is none of our goal and motive when you have those types of conversations. But, you know, maybe that was on our part, the way that we conveyed those numbers. I don't know. But then I also see in our current situation where, you know, we're starting to talk about where we could be putting other money, other dollars, and we want to be efficient in X, Y, and Z areas so that we can do this. But then I don't know if we're ready to divulge all of that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And like I said earlier, I don't really think there's a right or wrong answer. There's different shades of gray. And depending on your comfort level, maybe I can walk you through a couple different ideas or examples of what you can, how you can handle it, what you can share. In our particular group, we're 100% transparent with everything. Every line item on the P&L is shared with the team. We break it up into an easy to read scorecard where we talk about adjusted production. We talk about collections. We talk about staff wages. Now, we don't break it up into individual people, but we do break it up into assistant wages, hygiene wages, front desk wages, you know, so on and so forth. We also show, you know, dental supply, cost lines, office supply, rent, utilities. And the reason, there's a couple of reasons why we do it that way. It's expensive to run a dental practice. And my mindset has always been that there's people on the team that, that see, you know, $1,500 come in for a crown, and they believe that all $1,500 is somehow going from the patient's pocketbook to under your mattress, right? They don't realize that there's like 100 different expenses that need to get addressed before you see any of that. And then you are ultimately the last to be paid. So our mindset has always been transparency, so they can see where a dollar flows throughout the practice. We also believe in bonusing or giving incentives based on profitability. So we want we want team members to understand what our profitability is, so they have clarity on where their incentive pay or bonuses come from that regard. So that's how I do it. Now, there's the complete opposite of that. That is, no clarity on what the numbers are. And I've coached through DSI and talked to a lot of people in our community about, they just don't need to know. And I'm not going to say that that's the wrong way to do it, but I just really struggle with empowering certain team members, empowering the team to grow and to want to get better if they have no idea what the score is, right? Like, how do you know, that information is being shared? So those are the two extremes. Choose one or the other. And if you don't want to choose one or the other and you want to choose somewhere in the middle, then there's a lot of choices that you can choose. You can choose to just share, adjusted production, collections, new patients, right? That's what people will sometimes share. If you're trying to drive a certain behavior, like controlling a certain line item on the P&L, you can share that particular line item. You can share, like, for example, the dental supply expenses or the supply expenses in general, and what the budget is and where you're currently at and where it needs to be. I've coached offices where I encourage them to share staff wages, including the dentist as a expense. So if you don't feel comfortable sharing staff wages line item by line item, meaning like this is what the hygienists are getting paid, this is what the assistants are getting paid, then just lump it all up and say, you know what, for every dollar that comes in, we're spending 50% on the staff. And 50% is a decent metric to use if you're including doctor pay into that. And as you know, 25% is more of the metric if you're not including doctor pay. So there's a lot of different ways that you can go down this rabbit hole. Based on what I just said, is there anything that resonates with you?
Well, let me just back up one second. You said 50% if you put the doctor, dental assistants, everybody in one category, and you said 25% if you exclude doctors.
Yeah. So there's different, okay. You know, you could read.
I understand that. I just want to make sure we get the numbers.
Yeah. Those are the numbers that we use, but you could Google different benchmarks and you're going to get slight discrepancies one way or the other. But in our organization, we pay all doctors, even owners, as associates, for their clinical, production. We pay them anywhere from 30 to 35%. When you combine that compensation with the assistants in the front desk and benefits and all that stuff. And the goal for us is about 50%. So, if you're already at 45%, then I wouldn't have the goal be 50%. I would have the goal be 43%, right? So figure out where you're at and have that be your goal. But the other thing that I've found is, I think I care way more about this than I care way more about this than the team does. And when I share this information, it sometimes comes from a place of fear, when the reality is 75-80% of my team doesn't even really care. But again, every office is different. I have key team members that really care because they get evaluated based on controlling expenses. But for the most part, I have personally found that people don't even look at it. But again, your situation might be a little bit different.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts based on what I just shared with you? Do you have an inkling of maybe I'll lean this way or maybe I'll lean that way?
Yes and no. So in our meeting that we had yesterday, we basically did share the adjusted prediction, the collection percentage, our new patients from last year. So we did kind of the mix of both. But I do think that, you know, as this staff and team has gotten to know us, that we are they're looking for more clarity when we're talking about these things. And so I think I need to maybe just get a little more comfortable in figuring out, you know, those numbers that we would like to share that would empower them and let them have control over, or show them that they have some control over those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. And the other thing to think about, obviously you guys think about this, but if you have key team members that are helping you make decisions is, you know, we have revenue at the top, we have expenses, and then we have, you know, net profits. And some people think like that's kind of where it ends. But the reality is, you know, what do we do with that profits? Well, we have to pay taxes, right? So a decent amount of that profit is going to ultimately head to taxes. We have to pay debt if there's any debt on the practice. And then depending on your philosophy is save money for a rainy day or save money for that CBCT or that dental chair because you want to pay cash for it. So you end up taking these profits and it's not, again, that doesn't all go under the owner's mattress. Like that ultimately gets broken up into taxes and debt and capital expenditures and rainy day funds and emergency funds and stuff like that. So you can take this as detailed as you really want to go. And my journey has been to share a little bit and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And then finally I just ripped the Band-Aid off. And I said, look, if I really want to empower these people to make great decisions and not be 100% dependent on me, then I have to be fully transparent. And that's, to be honest with you, it's kind of the same time that things really started to flourish for us. So that's just, again, that's just how we're doing it. But the last thing I want you to do is something that's outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, sure. Well, no, I appreciate that.
Cool. Anything else I can help you with?
Not today. How about that?
Well, reach out to me if you have any other questions or concerns. I really appreciate the call.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
Have a great day. Thank you. That wraps up another episode of the Dental Lighthouse podcast. You have a choice today. Choose to be a lighthouse. Lighthouses are powerful and steadfast. They are beacons of light for others to reference when life gets turbulent. Go out into the world today and become a lighthouse for someone. Give more than you get. True joy comes from serving others. Start today. I'm Jason Tenorio, your host. Thank you for listening to the Dental Lighthouse podcast. For more information, podcast show notes, or links to anything that we have discussed today, please check out our website, thedentallighthouse.com. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to get on the show, please email us at podcast@thedentallighthouse.com.